We're wrapping up Siman Yud Beis, the Siman of Pshara this week. Pshara is something which is often misunderstood, not always people's fault. The halachas of Pshara are somewhat unclear, what a Pshara is, what halachas attitude toward Pshara is. I want to discuss tonight some of the halachic perspectives toward Pshara. So we paskin in Siv Beis that Pshara is very good. We paskin kol based in Sha'osa Pshara Tamin, Hareza Meshubach. Any based in that constantly manages to do pshara is wonderful, is meshubach. Later, the Shulchan Aruch says that elsewhere, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's a based in that's barach from din, and a based in supposed to be barach from din and avoid doing din, should always try to do pshara. That's basically how we pass, and that certainly from the basin's perspective, it's the basin's job to try to always do pshara. There is actually a machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara brings one shita says, Asur Lufza, you're not allowed to make a pshara. We don't pass it like that. We pass it like the shita of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha that says, Mitzvah Lufza, pshara is a mitzvah. The dayan is commanded to try to do pshara. The way the Torah brings it is, Kol dayan sha'osa pshara tamen harezeh meshubach, the language of the Shulchan Aruch. And the derivation is, V'alav namar, emes u'mishpat shalom shoftu b'sharechem. The ideal type of mishpat involves emes and shalom. The advantage of pshara is that it's not strictly MS, it also has shalom. Now the Shulchan Aruch also brings another Gemara. The Gemara says that they came to Rav Huna, they asked, and Rav Huna would ask them, do you want din or do you want pshara? The mitzvah l'dayin, the Torah says, mitzvah l'dayin l'haskel lahem b'pshara, the dayin should begin with pshara, shenet shiyomer lahem b'ma'atem rotzim, what do you want? Yoser b'pshara o b'din. Poskim debate, do we care if you say the word pshara first? Do you have to say pshara odin, or can you say bedin o b'pshara? The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is hadin atem rotzim o b'pshara. The poskim talk about, is there really any advantage saying the word pshara first? Or the poskim say, no, as long as you initiate, you immediately bring up the option of pshara, you're ready mekayim this inyan of right away offering the option of pshara. It does seem pretty clear, though, from the Shulchan Aruch, from Gemara, from the poskim, even though it's a great mitzvah to do pshara, the dayan's supposed to try very hard to do pshara, you do have to give the litigants a choice. You do have to tell them, do you want din or do you want pshara? Do you want pshara or do you want din? And you have to hope and you have to try that they accept pshara. And there is a major machlokas achronim, how hard should the dayan push for pshara? Machlokas sma and taz. Taz b'shem maral again. The sma says in Sifkot and Vav that since we pass in mitzvah of pshara, the dayan has to be masber to them. That pshara is good for them, pshara noach lahem, ladab ralibam, to persuade them, to convince them, hopefully they'll accept pshara. And when the mechaber says, you just tell them, do you want din or pshara, he doesn't just mean you give them the basic choice without putting a finger on the scale. It means you tell them both, but then you explain to them that pshara, the Torah recommends pshara, pshara is good. That certainly is the practice of batei din today, that they strongly encourage the litigants to agree to pshara. There is a dissenting view, and that is the shita of the Taz b'shem the maral. Taz says that the Maral very much disagrees, doesn't bring this map, but he just says that Maral says, Rav Huna said, which one do you want? Choice. He didn't say anything further. Din or Pshara. Nira she'ein lirduf kol kach achra Pshara. You shouldn't chase Pshara that aggressively. Kind of an ambiguous language. You shouldn't chase Pshara that aggressively. Rakta Amrilu, which one do you want? This Machlok is among the later Achronim had a Paskin. The Nesivas accepts the Sma. The Rav Batum accepts the Maral. And the Orim Batumim, or Yonatan Eibshitz, he brings the Taz and the Maral, and he explains that even more clearly, the Maral says, Ein Lirdav. Maral really means the Dayan should not be pushing one way more than the other. Somehow it's a mitzvah of the Dayan to try to do Pshara, but he shouldn't be pushing the litigants into how it's a mitzvah of him to do it if he has to give the litigants an even choice and not try to twist their arms. I'm not sure. But he's not supposed to have a finger on the scale. He's supposed to offer the litigants a fair choice. Which one do you want? It's up to you, Din or Pshara.
Is the default position that it would be din if they don't agree? One says, I want din, one says, I want pshara.
Get to that
and
too.
And they can't move. Okay.
Get to that too, yeah.
With the morale hold, there's no concept of harezeh meshubach then in terms of...
I don't think you can be chalak in that. The Torah, the Shulchan Aruch said, I mean, it's not meshubach to the Shulchan Aruch, but the Torah says that.
If you just give the option, how you can get it?
Yeah, so I'm not sure I fully understand that. If you're just giving the option, how are you supposed to be mekayim harezeh meshubach if the litigants are being given the choice? Not entirely sure.
What do you expect then? Many times you see in the Gemara they come, two people also come ayu for a din, and when and the amora, whoever it is posek, and he doesn't say always yachloku or pshara.
Right.
He gives a psak.
Right.
Why wouldn't you expect the president to be that he'll say?
So that's, so that's an important point, and that takes us to the next thing I want to mention, which is the most naim lemishmat of Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. He wants to suggest, he says, on the one hand, he says, the svara clearly is like the sma, that the fact that it's a mitzvah, the fact that it's a reza meshubach, like we just said, clearly indicates that the dayan should be trying to persuade them to do pshara. On the other hand, he said, the language of the Gemara, but dinat tim rotzo of pshara, sounds like he's supposed to be neutral. So which one is it? So he wants to make a pshara between the two shitas. He wants to say it's not really a machlokas. He wants to say, and this is a very important idea, why do we make psharas? So you find many different things in the poskim, many different discussions of what the motivation is. Fundamentally, there are two basic reasons for making a pshara. One reason is, as we've discussed previously, lefnei mishur hadin. Sometimes the letter of the law is on one person's side, but there are arguments on the other side too. It can be a novel b'rishus haTorah. You can be a l'charva Yerushalayim el hashmid dinam al din Torah. We discussed various examples of that, cases where within the letter of the law, you're right, but you're doing the wrong thing. You're doing morally, hashkafically, ethically, you're doing the wrong thing. That's a good reason to make pshara, he says. On the other hand, he says, sometimes the din is taka clear, and you make a pshara anyway. Why would you do that? Again, there's an isser to be mata pshara. You can't arbitrarily favor one side. So one reason we make pshara sometimes is shalom. Like the Gemara itself says, the mile of pshara is because it's a mishpat sheyesh b'shalom. So I'm not sure where the maznail mishpat stands about shalom, but he says if you make a pshara when there's no inyan of the mishpat, then there's no real reason to make a pshara, that's wrong. So he has a complicated explanation of how to learn the sugya, but basically he says before the dayan sees what the issue is, he doesn't know if there's a mishpat, he doesn't know if there's going to be grounds for a pshara. So he doesn't push too hard, he doesn't take sides yet. He says, what do you want, din or pshara? Up to you. I'm not going to push you into pshara because maybe one side is right. But at some point, if the dayan realizes that there is grounds for pshara because there is lefnei mishur hadin, then he says it is a mitzvah to encourage the litigants to do pshara, to do lefnei mishur hadin. But the way he's learning, it sounds like before you have any idea what's going on in the case, then we would go with the maral and the taz and the tumim that there is no real mitzvah to push for pshara in the absence of any understanding that there is a specific reason to push for pshara, that one side is actually mechuyev latzadei shemayim, mechuyev lefnei mishur hadin. Again, not sure where shalom fits into all this, but he says that he focuses fundamentally on the question of whether there is an inyan of lefnei mishur hadin. Now, there is a very controversial question debated by contemporary poskim, both in writing as well as Torah Shebaal Peh, which is typically when litigants come before a beis din, they sign an agreement. The halachic Hebrew version is called a shtari berurin, agreement to accept the beis din. They also sign a secular one, an English one in the U.S., where an arbitration agreement, they agree as a matter of law to accept the decision of the beis din acting from the perspective of the secular law, state law, as arbitrators. Now, the common nusach to write in the shtari berurin is to write that we authorize the beis din to resolve our matter bein ladin, bein lepesher. Sometimes you write pesher karav ladin. We saw the Pesach Tshuva talks about what Karav Ladin means, sometimes just Pesher Legamri, sometimes all three, Hein Ladin, Hein Lepshara, Hein Lepshara, Krova Ladin. But we almost always write, besides Din, that we authorize the Basin to do Pesher. So there's a major dispute among contemporary poskim. What if a litigant absolutely refuses to sign that language? He says, I'm coming to Basin, I'll gladly come to Basin, I'm an observant Jew, I do the will of God, I don't want to accept Shara. So we tell him, but you should accept Pshara. Pshara is wonderful. Mishpat, emes to Mishpat, Rishalom, and Meshubach, and everything. Nope, he says, I insist on Din. I'm willing to go to you for Din. I'm willing to sign. I'm authorizing you to do Din, but I am not willing to accept Pshara. So we find basically three positions in the poskim. Some poskim say, absolutely, that's his right. We try to persuade him to accept Pshara, but we offer him, do you want Din or do you want Pshara? Like the Gemara says, like the Shulchan Aruch says, we offer him a choice. He has to accept Pshara. Pshara is only binding if he accepts it. He doesn't have to accept it. It's his choice. If he says no, then no. We try. We persuade him. We can even put some pressure on him. We can try some verbal arm twisting maybe. But at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, we will not call him a Masarev. We will not call him a Russia. We'll tell him we really think you're making a mistake. We'll try to browbeat him a little bit or a lot even into accepting Pshara. But at the end of the day, we cannot do anything further. This is the position of various Dayanim. including, according to my recollection, Rav Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, one of, probably the leading expert on Choshen Mishpat Eben Ezra in our generation. I once spoke to him personally about this, and he took this position very strongly, uncharacteristically for him. He said, how can you possibly say that you can force somebody to accept Pshara? Pshara needs a Kenyan, the Shulchan Aruch says. Kenyan means you have to accept it. It's your decision, and that means it's up to you. How can you possibly accept someone to force somebody to accept something which he's not mechuyev to, al pidin? He couldn't fathom how Basin could force somebody to accept the Pshara. On the other extreme are those poskim who say that Basin will force somebody to accept Pshara, and they'll actually write Ksav Siruv, they'll actually call him a Masarev if he doesn't agree to authorize them to do Pshara. Perhaps the most prominent proponent of this view is the Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg. In the Tzitz Eliezer, he has a published tshuva on this, where he says that absolutely, if a person refuses to sign authorizing Beis Din to do even Pshara, he's a Masarev. He gives two arguments. One argument, which is made by other Dayanim too, is that, as we see in our siman, there are certain cases where Beis Din is authorized to impose a pshara on the litigants against their will. So, for example, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siv Gimel, Mutter leBeis Din levater b'mamon hayisomim chutz min adin kedei lahashkim meribus. That's the other svara we said, pshara to keep to quiet a machlokas, to maintain the peace. Then it says Yesh koch biad Beis Din ligzor lahachm. That's an extension of that, to make cherims and xeris and kai and the pshara. Then it says yesh koch l'dayin lasas din kain pshara makom shein adavar yachol esbar. There are certain cases where Beis Din is authorized to impose a pshara against the will of the bali din, and therefore the litigants have to accept that Beis Din has that authority. They're not giving Beis Din any new authority necessarily, but they have to accept that Beis Din has that authority. If they refuse to do that, they're refusing to come to Beis Din under the terms set forth in the Shulchan Aruch. Now the problem with this approach is that so you give Beis Din that much latitude, the limited latitude of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not a steer to what it says that normally you say Adina Hadina Temrotzim O Pshara. In certain cases that meet the criteria of Siv Gimel, Siv Dalet, and Siv Hey, Beis Din will have the authority to do Pshara. But by no means can you force a Baal Din, by no means should you be able to force a Baal Din to accept Pshara across the board in any situation. I accept that Beis Din will do Pshara where the Shulchan Aruch allows it, but not more than that. Siv Eliezer doesn't really acknowledge that. The other argument he makes is a very powerful one, a very interesting one. He invokes something that we've had previously in Siv Gimel that we're going to see again in the end of Siman Yud Beis, the idea that Minhag, as it always is in Choshen Mishpat, Minhag is a very powerful consideration. Earlier in Siv Gimel, in Siman Gimel, we had a din that a community where certain disputes within a certain industry were resolved by industry panels rather than Beis Din. So the Minhag is that you go to these people and not Beis Din, then the people who got involved in a transaction in this community, in this culture, that's what they do. They have to go to these panels. They have no right to insist on Beis Din. In the end of our siman, in the context of bankruptcy, Rick Vega brings from early poskim such an idea that if some of the creditors want it, like this thing in Argentina, if some of the creditors want to settle, some of the creditors don't want to settle. So he says if there was a clear minhag that a majority or whatever the rules were, that under certain conditions, some or most of the creditors have the right to force the other creditors to settle, that minhag is binding. And you can't say you want to go strictly al pidin. Tzitz Eliezer says, since there is a clear minhag, b'zman hazeh, all but din have litigants accept that the Beis Din is being granted the power to do pshara. So that's a minhag. And even though the minhag is shloka din tara, the minhag grants Beis Din powers they might not have al pidin tara, goes beyond his first reason apparently, he doesn't distinguish, but this reason would seem to say that if this is the case, that all Batei Din, or that there's a strong enough consensus among Batei Din, that they always arrogate themselves the right to do pshara, then litigants would be bound to accept that as a matter of minhag.
But there isn't a consensus. You mentioned Rav Moshe Nechemiah Goldberg.
Right. So that's the question. Is there really such an overwhelming consensus? Rav Zalman Nechemiah says, basically, cannot force them to do it. They can ask. It can be a routine thing that usually happens. But what has to be established, exactly as Gideon is saying, what has to be established is this really the universal minhag? And I have heard other cases too. There are Batei Din that will grudgingly agree to do din if you insist on it. Almost all Batei Din will strongly encourage you to do Pshara, but it is the case, as far as I understand, some Batei Din will grant you Dafka Din if you insist on it. And again, the question is there really an absolute minhag to force Bali Din to accept Pshara if they don't want it?
What's the point of going to Beis Din then? You can go to anywhere to do Pshara.
So that's a good question. The Tzitz Eliezer says, and other posts can take this position also, they say, just because Beis Din is doing pshara doesn't mean that the pshara will be completely independent of the Shulchan Aruch. Pshara means they're going to work with the Shulchan Aruch, they're going to learn the Shulchan Aruch. For example, the language of the Torah, one of the main reasons for doing pshara, the Torah brings the smag brings the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, they say, ma'od nismat to alavavas, today we don't have so much chachma. The Yerushalmi says, in the time of Shimon ben Yochai, batludine mamunas, and it brings a story, it says, people came to Rezi ben Chalafta, and they said, we want dintara. He told them, any day alavdin lachem dintara. I'm not wise enough, I'm not competent to do dintara. Many posts can bring the language of this Yerushalmi as, ha'idna, lest the chakil made in dintara, today we're not wise enough. So there's an assumption that we simply aren't good enough. It doesn't mean, therefore, we're going to close the Shulchan Aruch and not study Shulchan Aruch. It just means, at the end of the day, we're not fully confident in our ability, in our competence to do Din Torah. So we're going to try. We're going to learn Shulchan Aruch. We're going to apply Shulchan Aruch where possible. But there is going to be an element of pshara. We're not committing ourselves to strict Din Torah. We may even deviate from Din Torah because we know that we're not confident in our ability to get absolute Din Torah all the way to the end.
Sounds like a very big extension, though. I mean, if we're going to try to do Din Torah, we're not going to try to do pshara.
In a Konami. It's not really that clear how you get from, we're going to ask you to grant us some leeway because we can't be perfectly confident in our ability to do Din Torah, to the idea that we're going to deliberately impose pshara l'fim mishur sadin or shalom. Right? Again, that's the problem with the Shita, that they're kind of jumping from the idea that we can't promise 100% Din Torah, and we're allowed to make psharas in certain cases, and encouraged to make psharas, and it's inevitable to make psharas in certain cases, to the idea that we're going to have the free latitude to do it whenever we want. I agree, this is a very big jump. And the truth is, again, some of the poskim do take a more middle position, kind of like the first part of the Sitzel Eliezer. We have a psak din from Rabbi Eliezer Shapiro on the Rabbanut, where he took the position also. They have to accept pshara, but the pshara they mean is pesher karav ladin, he says. Again, I'm not sure if they were writing in his psharas the word pesher or pesher karav ladin. But if she says, we mean Pesher Karav Ladin. And Pesher Karav Ladin, he equates with Lefnim Meshuras Hadin, that it's something that, not obvious why every Pesher, again, like the Mazayel Mishpat says, not every Pesher is going to be Lefnim Meshuras Hadin. Not sure why he thinks, why we equate them. But again, this is a very big gray area, why Poskim think necessarily that litigants have to be bound by to accept Pesher. Not at all clear. And as I said, not Muskim. One last point is that there is an intermediate position. Some Poskim say, we obligate, this is more probably relevant more in Europe than today, they say we do require litigants to sign Pesher. We don't, that doesn't actually mean they're going to do Pesher. That means for legal reasons they have to write into the arbitration agreement, it's going to be called compromise, Kuf Aleph Mem Pei Reish, whatever they called it. They needed it for legal reasons. It wouldn't be binding otherwise, or they needed the Lashon Pesher in case we make a Pesher that's guaranteed by Shulchan Aruch, we want to make sure it's upheld in court. But in a Konami, even if you do sign Pesher, hey, Bein Ladin, Bein LePesher, that doesn't mean in and of itself that you're actually authorizing the Beis Din to go beyond the law of the Shulchan Aruch. You have to sign that to give Beis Din the power to do it where appropriate, but it doesn't actually mean that Beis Din is going to have the power to go beyond the Shulchan Aruch.